something else that we had touched on in a previous show was the fact that Minnesota had introduced a bill to allow dental hygienists to practice unsupervised. And in fact, that bill would have even allowed dental hygienists to do surgical procedures. That was from the March 17th issue of the ADA News. What do you think about that? There's another report here, another state kind of getting into that fray. And I want you to know that we welcome your comments. Your phone calls can be you call 821-1230. Also, you can send us an email to dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. So feel free to pick up the phone and give us a call or send us an email if you have any comments. We'd love to hear your opinion, and your questions are welcome as well. So in the then May 5th issue of the ADA News, there is an article here that says a Maine law will allow unsupervised dental hygiene practice, written by Karen Fox out of Augusta, Maine. So it says, in July, Maine will be the second state in the nation to allow the unsupervised practice of dental hygiene. The bill, which is LD 2277, passed both houses April 18th and has been signed by the government. Currently, Colorado is the only state with unlimited unsupervised dental hygiene practice. Another 18 states allow hygienists to practice with limited supervision, though state laws restrict the setting, the hygiene services, or the duration of time over which hygiene care can be provided. And Ohio happens to be one of those other 18, so in Ohio, dental hygienists are able to clean teeth in a dental office without the dentist there, as long as the patient has been informed in advance, as long as they have had an examination by the dentist in the last 7 months, and as long as no procedure is done that would mean a diagnostic code or a treatment code other than cleaning, dental cleaning, prophylaxis, root planing, and x-rays. But no diagnosis can be made because dental hygienists are not dentists. So, yeah, I'm curious about what you think about this. I can tell you that I am very concerned. I do not think it's a good idea. I'm sure there are some hygienists who have a very adamant feeling about that, contrary to my views. But you can become a dental hygienist in 2 years. And you don't need, the only thing you need to become a dental hygienist is that 2 years of training and a high school diploma. And so essentially, a 20-year-old then, and some, let's face it, some people graduate from high school at age 17, and some even younger, if they were homeschooled or something like that, they can then become a dental hygienist at age 18, 19. And you can't become a dentist until you have gone to your high school, of course, a 4-year accredited college or university program, and then another 4 years of dental school, so that's 8 years of schooling after high school, and then you can't become one of the specialty dentists, which we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show, unless you have then gone on to another anywhere from 2 to 4 year program. And a lot of dentists go on and do a 1-year residency or internship prior to going into the specialty training. So I guess I'm just a little concerned that the state would allow a 20-year-old or a 19-year-old who has gone around all of those years of education and give them the right to open up an office that is providing health care. Now, do I love hygienists? Yes, I love hygienists. I think they're great. They offer a service. And next week, we're going to be talking a little bit about what hygienists do and how you get to be a hygienist and how does that compare to dental assistants and all of the different job responsibilities within a dental office. But do I think that they are qualified to open up their own offices right out of dental hygiene school, especially a 2-year program? No, and I wouldn't even think after the 4-year program, because it's only 4 years of training. And a lot of things, untoward things that could happen in a practice setting. So when we come back, we have a little bit more in the way of updates on previous shows that we've talked about, things that are in the news, You are listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS, and your calls are welcome at 821-1230. We will be back right after this break. Just Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko, also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry But Were Too Numb to Ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kavitko, and today we're going to be talking about dental specialties. What are they? How do they break down? Who decides which specialist you should visit? And we'll get into that in just a little bit. But before we do that, I was going over some of the things where dentistry has been in the news, some things we've talked about on previous shows, little updates. Talk about the lead in crowns and the update on that story, as well as dental hygiene practices being allowed to be practicing unsupervised in the state of Maine now. And then also, though, before I go too far, let me put out today the Dr. Kavitko's question of the day. The results of a recent poll showed what percent of dentists prefer a Republican president. Now, I don't really want to talk about politics on a dental show, and we don't really plan on doing that, but I do think it's a kind of an interesting poll and maybe something that people would be curious to know about. So, the results of a recent poll showed what percent of dentists prefer a Republican president. And your answers, or your guesses, I mean, are welcome at 821-1230, or an email sent to dentallyspeaking on talk1230@yahoo.com, and we'll give some guesses that people, unless you know the answer comes out right away, we'll give guesses that people have made throughout the show, and we'll get you the answer there towards the end. All right, the other news story that came out was an article in the May 13th issue of the New York Times, entitled "Dental Calamities That Can Truly Hurt." It's by Nicholas Bacalar. And it talks about several things, but I did think it was of interest that it was an article in the New York Times. Shows me that some smart people understand the importance of dentistry. It talks about dental cavities, which are not good news, but when it comes to preventative oral health, they're probably the smaller problem. Advice is familiar on how to prevent cavities, you know, brush and floss, use fluoride mouth rinse, limit your snacks and sweet drinks, and visit your dentist, twice a year. And although these are good suggestions, and even if not everyone follows them, by age 12, half the children still have cavities in this country. However, even as bad as that sounds, there are two much more serious problems, common dental diseases that can lead not only to loss of teeth, but also loss of life, and those are periodontal disease and oral cancer. Now, periodontal disease, you've all heard the word, and many people know what it is, but some still, it's a little fuzzy in their mind. So let me just tell you that periodontal disease is a chronic bacterial infection of the gums that destroys the bone and tissues that hold the teeth. It also happens to be the leading cause of tooth loss in adults. Some people are genetically susceptible, and the problem can be aggravated by smoking and taking certain medications, stress, and other factors. But let me back up to the smoking. If you smoke, you are far, far more likely to lose your teeth due to periodontal disease. I see it every day, and I can spot it a mile away when somebody comes in. Of course, I guess that's not really possible because they came in, so they're not a mile away at that point, are they? Anyway, several studies have found that gum disease is associated with an increased risk for heart attack. And Dr. Martin J. Davis, professor of clinical dentistry at the College of Dental Medicine at Columbia, says, quote, "It isn't nailed down yet, but there seems to be a link between the inflammation of gums and the inflammatory markers of heart disease. It may be that oral bacteria enter the bloodstream, attach to fatty plaques in the coronary arteries, and cause clots to form, or maybe inflammation itself increases plaque buildup." So, I mean, this has been very well documented, and another 2007 study showed that periodontal disease increases the risk of heart attack in men by one-third and doubled it in women, even after controlling for smoking. Studies do suggest that gum disease is associated with the risk for stroke, altered glycemic control in people with diabetes, and adverse pregnancy conditions like preeclampsia, which is pregnancy-induced high blood pressure, low birth weight and preterm birth. When periodontal disease is treated by reducing the inflammation and lowering the quantities of harmful bacteria in the mouth, it can have a major impact on inflammation in the rest of the body. I think is very, very good information. And one more thing that this same article dealt with, and I think we devoted an entire show to the topic, I'm trying to guess if it was 3 weeks ago or four now, and that was oral cancer. And so the article went on to say that oral cancer is the second serious dental condition, and it afflicts 34,000 people a year and kills 8,000. Dr. Michael Kahn, a professor of oral pathology at Tufts University, compares oral cancer with the 11,000 cases of cervical cancer that are detected by the 60 million pap smears administered every year. I'm now quoting Dr. Kahn. A person dies every hour around the clock from oral cancer, he said. Quote, yes, it's a struggle to get insurance to cover any of the new screening tests. It causes at least twice as many deaths as cervical cancer, but we've paid for pap smears, which have reduced cervical cancer by 90%. And this talks about, obviously, you know, the concerns about insurance reimbursement and something that we're going to deal with on this show in detail in the upcoming month or weeks. But it also goes on to say, smoking and alcohol abuse are the major causes, but 25% of oral cancers appear in people who have never smoked or drunk to excess. And we mentioned that as well. The suspected cause of at least some of these cancers is human papillomavirus, or HPV. Now, we'll go on and deal with this a little bit more detail when we return from the break. Remember, feel free to pick up the phone and give us a call at 821-1230 or send us an email to dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. And don't forget, the question of the day is, according to a recent poll, what percent of dentists prefer a Republican president? We'll be right back. Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. Thanks for joining us this morning. Remember, your phone calls are welcome at 821-1230. Also, you can listen to this show and any previous show on demand by listening to the podcast. And the way you do that is you go to www.talk1230wyts.com. Go to the menu that says On Air. Drop-down box comes up. Click on Dr. Kavitko. It'll take you to my page. On that page in the very middle, underneath the smile, says Go to Podcast Page. Just click on that, and then you can click on the Listen button to this show or any other show that we've broadcast. All right. While we were gone, a couple people called in with guesses on the Dr. Kavitko question of the day. John from Commercial Point called in his guess of 55%, and you may remember the question of the day is, the results of a recent poll showed what percent of dentists prefer a Republican president. John guessed 55%, not correct. Star from Columbus guessed 35%, and that's also not correct. Tanisha from Columbus called in a guess of 45%, so keep your calls coming in. You can also send us an email. dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com is the address there. And we will get you the answer here as the show progresses towards the end. All right. Now, we were talking about a New York Times story, and they basically were just giving an update on how important dentistry is and the connections between periodontal disease and other health concerns. And then we were talking about oral cancer, a show that we dealt with about 4 weeks ago, I think. But one of the things before we went on to our other topic I wanted to talk about is how important it is that oral cancer be detected early. So what Dr. Kahn is saying is that for now, prevention, screening, and early treatment are crucial to lowering the death rate. The first sign of oral cancer is often a tiny white or red spot in the mouth, but the disease can be detected before a sore appears. In the last 2 or 3 years, manufacturers have produced non-invasive devices for detecting abnormal tissue that may be invisible to the naked eye, and some dentists are beginning to use them, even though their effectiveness remains controversial. I'm one of those dentists that does use this, and I believe that it's a great adjunct to our ability to catch these cancers. Quote, quoting Dr. Kahn again, it says, the literature says they work. Dr. Kahn said, some would like more or stronger evidence, but for others, they're convinced. In dentistry, you don't have much time to look. The theory is that if you use one of these devices, it can give you some additional help, end quote. So, if a dentist finds a suspicious lesion, Dr. Kahn recommends referral to an oral pathologist as the next step. There is more to good oral health than conscientious brushing and flossing, even though they remain important. Final quote from Dr. Davis is, you have to take care of your mouth like any other part of your body because it's linked to the rest of your body. Okay? So, yeah, don't think that you're just brushing and flossing to prevent cavities. You have to keep in mind things like losing your teeth to periodontal disease, as well as oral cancer. And Dr. Davis is Dr. Martin Davis, Professor of Clinical Dentistry at the College of Dental Medicine at Columbia, for those of you that forgot that. All right, so today's topic is actually dental specialties. What are they? How do they break down? And basically, there are several specialties in dentistry, and I want to list them. But let me just tell you that dental specialty, what they are. Dental specialties are recognized by the American Dental Association, and they're done so to protect the public. They want to nurture art and science of dentistry and improve the quality of care. It's the American Dental Association's belief that the needs of the public are best served if the profession is oriented primarily to general practice. Specialties are recognized in those areas where advanced knowledge and skills are essential to maintain or restore oral health. All right, so that is the genesis, then, of the specialties. But keep in mind, general dentistry is the overall primary focus of care in the United States, and that is the way the American Dental Association sees it occurring. All right, now, there are several specialties. One is dental public health. Now, I'm not sure that's one that people think of much. Dental public health is the science and art of preventing and controlling dental diseases and promoting dental health through organized community efforts. It is that form of dental practice which serves the community as a patient rather than the individual. It's concerned with the general dental health education of the public, with applied dental research, and with the administration of group dental care programs, as well as the prevention and control of dental diseases on a community basis. So this would be an arm of the public health department, and I know that in Central Ohio, the public health department runs a dental clinic, and it is designed for low-income folks. People can call and make an appointment, and I believe it's they receive either free or low-cost care. The emphasis would be on prevention, on children, trying to reach the underserved populations. And I think it's a wonderful service. In fact, the more I think about it, I should have its director on as a guest here on a future show. Happens to be a friend of mine, and I will probably be giving him a call this week. Another specialty is called endodontics. Now, endodontics is otherwise known as root canals. Okay, so endo comes from a Latin word meaning inside. So endodontics, dentos, is teeth, inside the teeth, and hence the term endodontics. Endodontics is the branch of dentistry which is concerned with the morphology, physiology, and pathology of the human dental pulp and periradicular tissues. And of course that means tissues around the root. Its study and practice encompass the basics and clinical sciences, including biology of the normal pulp, the etiology, diagnosis, prevention, and treatment of diseases and injuries of the pulp and associated periradicular conditions. Now, they don't even mention the word root canal in there, do they? But that's what they're really talking about. And I say they when I'm talking about, these are ADA definitions, by the way. Now, endodontics became a specialty in 1983, or at least this definition was adopted in 1983. Public health definition was adopted in 1976. When we return, we'll go over the rest of this list, and then we'll talk about how and why you would go to one specialty over another. Remember, that you can call in your guesses to our question of the day, which is what percent of dental professionals are would like to see a Republican president? 821-1230, or email us at dentallyspeaking on talk1230@yahoo.com. We'll be right back. Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Kvitko. And today we are talking about some things in the news. We're talking about dental specialties and how they break down. Let me go over our question of the day, which is the results of a recent poll showed what percentage of dentists prefer a Republican president. We received some guesses over the break, and Kevin from Pickerington sent in his guess as 70%. That's close, Kevin, but not correct. Lori from Grove City guessed 80%. Karen from Dublin, 42%. And on the phones with us right now is Marilyn from New Albany. Marilyn, you're on 1230 WYTS. What's your guess?
75%.
75%?
Yes.
That's awful close. But Marilyn, I understand you also had a question or a comment you wanted to make?
Well, I had a question, a comment about teeth.
Okay.
I had a question to ask. In my family, my father, I inherited from my father, my daughter inherited it from me. Now my granddaughter has it. We have a problem with yellow stained teeth.
Okay.
And I don't know. I don't know what the best action is to take. Our little granddaughter's 10, and she has pitted and very yellow teeth, the worst ever in the family. Does she just have to wait until she's older to have her teeth capped or bonded or...
Well, actually, the answer to that is not really. Here's why. First of all, you cannot bleach a child's teeth. So then you didn't ask that, so I assume you already know that. But you wouldn't want to have a child's teeth bleached unless they're at least 14. The reason is their teeth aren't completely developed. The inside part where the nerve is a lot closer to the external surface, and it would create a very sensitive situation. But putting veneers on teeth is strictly a personal and a financial decision. The reason you will hear most dentists say, oh, you have to wait till you're 18, is simply this. They know that around age 18 or so, the teeth will have erupted more into the mouth, the gums will have formed and reached their permanent relationship to the teeth, and so if you wait till you're 18 or so and you do veneers, chances are they won't have to be redone because the teeth weren't completely erupted or the gums weren't completely molded. But there's nothing wrong in my book, in my mind, with doing something like veneers on a 10-year-old as long as the parents or grandparents understand that it will have to be redone some point down the line as the teeth shift and move. So, you know, I don't know what you think of that, but I believe that if you'd leave a child's teeth like that, she will become a completely different person. She'll be introverted, not want to smile out loud than she would if you were to somehow get her the help that you're contemplating.
All right, because I don't think that bleaching will do the job on teeth like that.
You're probably right, and even if it would, though, you shouldn't try it now at age, mm-hmm. age 10. But,
all right.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, now, the next specialty that we wanted to get listed here. In fact, I'm going to give the list, and that way if I don't have time to get to an explanation of all of them, at least I will have listed them for you. So just so that you remember, we dental public health was one, endodontics was number two, no special order, by the way, oral and maxillofacial pathology, oral and maxillofacial radiology, oral and maxillofacial surgery, orthodontics and dentofacial orthopedics, and then we have pediatric dentistry. We had a pediatric dentist on the show a couple weeks ago. Periodontics and prosthodontics. Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different recognized dental specialties. There are a couple missing that you may have thought were specialties. The most notable one is cosmetic dentistry. Interestingly enough, you hear a lot about cosmetic dentistry, and I do a ton of that at the office, but it is not a recognized specialty by the American Dental Association. Will it be someday? I kind of think so. But it's not now. The other one that is not listed or recognized as the ADA is family dentistry. And you see that on a lot of dental offices' signs where it says Dr. So-and-so Family Dentistry. Well, that's more of a marketing thing. It says to you, the consumer, we take care of all members of the family. We don't just do kids. We don't just do adults. And it's a way of letting people know that anybody can come. So, but yeah, keep that in mind. There are only 9 recognized specialties, and cosmetic dentistry is not one of them, and neither is family dentistry. So, when we come back, we'll go ahead and go into a little more detail. I guess we won't have a lot of time for much detail on the 7 that we haven't covered yet, but we'll do our best. We'll also give the answer to the question of the day, which is the results of a recent poll showed what percent of dentists prefer a Republican president. Marilyn guessed 75%, and she was awful close, so that should be a hint that it's in that range. You are listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS. So hear me when I'm saying, Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and today we've been speaking about the some issues, dental issues that are in the news, about dental specialties and how they break down, and what specialists you might wind up going to. Before I forget, though, let's go back to the question of the day, Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. The results of a recent poll showed what percentage of dentists prefer a Republican president. And we received a couple emails, from one from Carrie that lives in Powell, 60%. David from Upper Arlington, 50%. And Brendan from Hilliard, 74%. And Marilyn, if you're still listening, when I said you were close, not too far off. The answer is 67%. So I found that kind of interesting. But there's a little bit of a sidelight to that question of the day. Let me see if I can find where I put it. But basically, it talks about how when dentists were asked to rate the smile of the candidates, and when the candidates still included people like Mitt Romney, Rudy Giuliani, Mike Huckabee, John McCain, Ron Paul, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and John Edwards, dentists selected Mitt Romney as having the best smile, 61%. However, female dentists preferred Hillary's smile, 39%, and Barack Obama, 22%. So, just a little side note there. I thought it was kind of interesting. All right, I think Barack Obama has a great smile. I think he may have the best smile of the remaining 3 contenders. But anyway, all right, so now we need to get over this list of specialties before I run out of time, because now that I've thrown it out there, I don't want to have to end the show without giving you that info. Okay, we talked about public health, and then we talked about endodontics, which is root canals, so I'm going to a root canal specialist. And the next thing is on that list is oral and maxillofacial pathology. That's oral pathologists. So you'd be sent there if your dentist found something that he thought needed a microscopic evaluation. Then there's oral and maxillofacial radiology, which is a relatively new specialty. And it's the specialty of dentistry dealing with radiology concerns, concerned with the production of interpretation of images and data produced by all modalities of radiant energy. And there is something new out there called an ICAT, and we will probably be developing or devoting an entire show to that down the road, because it's really, really neat stuff. Low radiation dose for a ton of information. And so now there's this specialty area of for folks who can read the data, be responsible for obtaining these images. Oral and maxillofacial surgery. Most people know of oral surgeons. Oral and maxillofacial surgery is a specialty of dentistry which includes the diagnosis, surgical, and adjunctive treatment of diseases, injuries, and defects involving both the functional and aesthetic aspects of the hard and soft tissues of the oral and maxillofacial region. By the way, the maxilla is the bone that is your upper jaw, and that is why it's called maxillofacial. Orthodontics and dental facial orthopedics. Orthodontics, we all know what an orthodontist does. They move teeth, and help us improve our chewing function and our appearance by having our teeth aligned and our jaws aligned more correctly. Pediatric dentistry, which is children's dentistry. Periodontics, which we've talked about, treatment of the gums and supporting tissues. Prosthodontics, which is the dental specialty pertaining to the diagnosis, treatment planning, rehabilitation, and maintenance of the oral function, comfort, appearance, and health of patients with the clinical conditions associated with missing or deficient teeth and or oral and maxillofacial tissues using biocompatible substitutes. That would be implants and whatnot. So, there you have the list, and maybe in a future show we'll be able to go into a little more detail. I'm sorry that we have run a little bit short on time here, but I will do my best to get more information out there for you. Before we go for the day, though, I just want to remind you of our golf outing, August 23rd, 8 a.m., Broadview Golf Course. Call the office at 262-9588 if you'd like to register. $140 per team. Also, look for Showcase Columbus with Gail Hogan, June 1st, Channel 4, 12:30. You've been listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you next week, same time, 9 in the morning, Sundays from 9 to 10, here on Talk 1230 WYTS.